name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On this day, November 13th, each year, we commemorate our Father among the saints, John Chrysostom, the Archbishop of Constantinople. It just so happens this year that it falls on a Sunday. I want to say a few brief words about St. John Chrysostom. He is called Chrysostom not because that was his last name, but because it's the nickname given to him. It means golden mouth or golden tongue. Because St. John was known and still is known as being the premier preacher in the history of the Orthodox Church. And as you may recall, those of you who are Orthodox, we read his sermon each year on Pascha, his Paschal sermon. So great is our honor for him, so great esteem is he held by our church. And St. John Chrysostom was known not only for being a good preacher, an excellent preacher, but he was known for speaking the truth directly and without fear of reprisal. In fact, he was known for speaking the truth right in front of the emperor or the empress, calling them out for their lack of faith, calling them out for hoarding the wealth of the empire and not using it for the poor, even to the extent that he was exiled in his life because of this preaching. And so today, to honor St. John Chrysostom on this, his feast day, I wish to speak not so much about him, but as I believe he would do, about the gospel, because St. John is all about preaching the word of God and how it applies to us. Even today, to people in his time, 300 plus years removed from the life of Christ and how it applies to us today. So today, on this 8th Sunday of Luke, we heard this reading, which sounds very nice. The Good Samaritan, we like to call today's reading. It gives us warm fuzzies when we hear about the Good Samaritan. But what we'll see is that Jesus, as he always is, was very tough on his crowd, most especially upon someone like this lawyer who confronted him today. And keep in mind that a lawyer in the New Testament is not thinking about an attorney that we think about today. It was someone who was intimately familiar with the Mosaic law. So someone who knew Scripture very, very well. And we see his problem is the problem that Jesus has with people throughout the gospel. It's a problem that we all suffer with. It's a cancer, a disease that we have to get rid of. And that is, we hear that the lawyer wanted to justify himself. He could have left Jesus alone. You see, Jesus, he asked, you know, how may I find eternal life? And Jesus says, what does the scripture say? And he says, what the scriptures say about it. And he could have left it at that, but instead he wanted to justify himself, and so he asked Jesus this question, who is my neighbor? And Jesus shows us through this story, and I'll explain it. He shows us very poignantly not only who is our neighbor, but he also reveals to us how we often worship him falsely. So Jesus, in telling this story, obviously we know about the man who was beaten and was half dead. Some commentators mentioned that this person who was half dead, meaning that you couldn't tell who he was he a Jew, was he a Samaritan, was he a Roman? You couldn't even tell what ethnicity he was, because that would influence how people might behave in this story. So this man was beaten, half dead, and by him walked a priest and a Levite. And the one who stopped was a Samaritan. And this is important because a Samaritan is somebody who was a Jewish heretic. He was someone who was despised by the Jews. It would be like as if Jesus were to come into our midst today and tell this story as though we had never heard it. And he says this man was beaten half dead, and by him walked an Orthodox priest. And by him walked the subdeacon, the Levites who were the tribe from which the priest came. So by him walked an Orthodox priest, and by him walked a subdeacon. And then this Muslim came by, and he saw this man sitting there, laying there on the road, half dead. And he took care of him, and he bandaged him, and he took him to the inn. And he told the innkeeper, if this man needs anything else, put it on my head. That's what Jesus was telling the lawyer. He was poking the lawyer in the eye, so to speak, saying, who do you think that you are? Just because you are a Jew and someone who knows Scripture. And he reveals to us, as Jesus does and as the prophets do throughout the Bible, this false idea of worship that we tend to have. This idea that our true worship is gathering together here in this church and praising God. And what Jesus is saying is that no, that is false worship. If when you leave this building, you don't care for the people who are in need. Because God is not asking for our praise. God does not need our incense. He does not need our prayers. We need to offer them to God. He doesn't need them. What God needs us to do is to be His hands and His feet and His mouth here on this earth. And that's why, going back all the way, as we're doing in our study of Genesis, we hear that we are made in the image of God. We are to present God to this world. And in this story, it was that Samaritan. It was that one who Jesus here is despised, who was the one who presented God to this man who had been beaten. And then we hear Jesus, in finishing this story, I love how he asks this man, who do you think proved neighbor to this man? And so what Jesus is doing in this is he's essentially redefining our idea of what it means to be a neighbor. It's no longer something passive. You think about a neighbor, it's someone who happens to move into your next door. What we have no control over. Who buys a house next door to us, who lives in the apartment next door to us. And Jesus is saying, you should become a neighbor to anyone who needs your mercy. Anyone with whom you come in contact that needs your mercy, you become a neighbor to them. It's no longer something that's passive, over which we have no control. It's something that we do actively. And I imagine that Jesus today in our midst could tell a parable similar to us. And he could ask us, for example, this past week, and again in a few weeks it will be coming up, we host Family Promise families. For those of you who don't know, Family Promise is an organization that serves homeless families. And they operate by having churches that open their doors, like our church has done, for these families to stay at the churches until they're able to get back up on their feet and they're able to move into permanent housing. And there's all sorts of programs. It's not just the help and the open doors that we provide, but counseling and guidance, financial classes, parenting classes, that these families go through to try to change and transform their lives. And this is only possible because churches open their doors. And they provide food and they provide a place for these families, a safe and warm, this time of year, cool in the summer, place for these families to sleep and to have fellowship with the people of our church. But they're only able to do that if we decide that they are our neighbor. If we accept Jesus' definition of a neighbor. Because it's easy for us to say, they're not our neighbor. I don't need to help them. Well, Jesus is saying, become a neighbor to them. Be active, not passive. Make them your neighbor by coming and serving them and having fellowship with them during a meal, having fellowship with them, watching their children so maybe they can get 5 or 10 minutes break while they have someone trustworthy watching their kids play out here in our church hall. And the final thing that I want to mention as we think about being a neighbor and we think about this parable today is when we think about our own sins and when we make our confession. Because so often we think about our sins as being sins of commission, meaning a sin of something that we did. I did this wrong, I did X, Y, and Z wrong, we come to confession. But what Jesus is showing us is that often our greatest sins are acts of omission. We commit sins by not doing something. You see, the priest and the Levite could have said, well, this wasn't my neighbor, I was busy. They're probably on their way to go to the temple, thinking that they were serving God in that way. So they had excuses. But Jesus says to think about the sins that we omit, the things that we don't do, the times that we could have extended ourselves and reached out to others and shown them mercy. So brothers and sisters, today as we celebrate St. John Chrysostom, let us be reminded that he always liked to point out the practical aspects of the gospel. And let us see today in this story that we hear, that just coincides on this Sunday with his feast day. Let us be practical in hearing today's gospel. Let us put aside any sense of self-righteousness that somehow we're better than those outside our church who are different from us. And let us put into practice what Jesus taught us, to become a neighbor to others, to quit committing these sins of omission, and to be active in showing mercy to anyone we come across who is in need of his mercy. To him be all glory, honor, and worship forever and ever. Amen.
Pray to the Lord, ye catechumens.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us, the faithful, pray for the catechumens that the Lord will have mercy on them.
Lord, have mercy.
That he will teach them the word of truth.
Lord, have mercy.
That he will reveal to them the gospel.